It's always so awesome to welcome new people into our faith community. And we often only have one joining time a year, but these individuals are like, we want to join. I'm like, okay, let's get it done. Let's do it. So we're always happy to bring people into our community and into our fellowship whenever the Spirit moves. Oh, what a delight. But would you all please pray with me now? May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I was thinking this week about the sermon and what images were coming to mind for me, and I thought about a snow globe. Now, I didn't know the history of a snow globe. I mean, as a child, I would collect them, collect a few, and break a few along the way. And I imagine you've all seen a snow globe before and perhaps have some at home, maybe of like the Eiffel Tower or some other, the Statue of Liberty. I think that was the most recent one my nieces got. But I looked into, well, how did these come to be? Well, this man called Edwin Pursey ran a medical surgical instrument supply business in Vienna. And back in 1900, a local surgeon asked him to improve on Thomas Edison's then new light bulb, because the surgeon needed it to be brighter so he could continue to do his work in the operating room. So Mr. Pursey was inspired by the shoemakers in the town who used a candle and then mounted a glass globe filled with water in front of the flame to give a more intense and direct spot of light. So Mr. Pursey, pulling on this method with candlelight and globe, thought he would place a water-filled glass globe in front of a candle, but increase that light's magnification. He would add in these tiny little bits of reflective glitter in the globe, so it would help brighten it. So he had this light in the globe and the little bits of glitter, but the glitter sank to the bottom. As Mr. Prezi's grandson says, and one day he found a white powder and he poured it into the glass globe and it got all soaked up and it started to very slowly float. Now, this didn't help with the light and increasing the light for the surgeon, but it reminded Mr. Pursey of a snowfall. And that's how he created the very first basic idea of a snow globe. He then quickly filed for a patent and got it all set and created these snow globes. And then down the road, he figured that he needed to put a miniature statue or item in there so that it would, you know, take on some sort of resemblance and people could really make the connection. And so for the first 40 years of production, that little miniature statue, that item, was always a church. So his son, Mr. Pursey II, took over from his father after the Second World War and introduced some different designs like a Christmas tree and Father Christmas and snowman figures and all that. And he also introduced a new artificial material for the snow that remains a company secret. But if you break it, it creates a big mess. But the snow globes, they are a reflection of how we can handle what is happening right now in our world. We are in this space that many in the theological church world are calling a liminal space, a time of unknowing, a time where everything has been shaken up and it's all swirling around like a snow globe. We see these bits of snow floating all around us of what once was, what is happening, what might be, what we long for, what is yet to be. We hear things and are unsure if it's just our grief or if it's something that we should really give attention to. Everything is just whirling around like these snow globes, and nothing at times feels certain. I mean, gas prices are rising, as you are well aware. I filled up my Jeep yesterday for over $80. That was fun. And since hence the motorcycle out front. That's only 15 bucks to fill up. The war in Ukraine keeps raging on. Mass shootings continue to occur. And then COVID, of course, has forever impacted our lives in one way or another. And our eyes have been opened to societal racism and heteronormative systems, ways of being. There's just so much to take in, and it's all swirling around like the snow globe. Maybe you long for the past, even if it was just the past as in yesterday, or last week, or last year, or 5 years ago. Maybe you're just longing for that time when you knew what was going to happen and you knew how much you were going to pay at the pump. But while all of this is swirling around us, do you ever feel like a piece of that snow also being tossed and turned and floating around and spinning? In Paul's letter to the Romans, he's writing about what and what now to the people. In the first four chapters of his writings, Paul writes about how both the Jews and Gentiles, they both fall short. Neither one of them are perfect. Yet, because of Jesus Christ and through God's grace, we've all been brought back to God. And they, the Romans, the people he's writing to in Rome, and we are not the first generations to have our perceived worlds tossed upside down and turned around. In chapter 4 of Paul's writings, he points the readers back to the story of Abraham, which, of course, was long before their time and long before our time. And Paul writes, "The promise to Abraham and to his descendants that he would inherit the world didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. When it was beyond hope, he had faith in hope that he would become the father of many nations. In keeping with the promise of God, God spoke to him saying, without losing faith, Abraham, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, which was dead. He didn't hesitate with a lack of faith in God's promise, but he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised." Which, if you recall, God's promise to Abraham would be that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. Abraham held on to his hope and to his faith. Friends, 2 years ago, our church theme was Isaiah 43:19, to which Zach, my friend, would tell me, "She sure says that a lot that year." It was, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And it continues, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I just loved it. That year, seriously, like the second month of it, Zach comes up to us and he's like, "She sure says that a lot." He was listening. God is doing a new thing. Now, what that new thing is, we have an opportunity to discover together. Like I mentioned in our opening announcements, on June 25th, our faith community, everybody is invited to come as we discern and listen together to discover what God is calling us to do for this next year, where God is settling the snowflakes, what God has in mind for us. We'll break out into groups and work together, and then as a whole, pray and discern together so that all of our sails will be going in the same direction. And we as individuals now, we're called to also anchor ourselves in that snow globe because and through hope. For we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, says Hebrews 6:19. And faith, you know, as scripture tells us, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We too often in our churches these days get certainty and faith mixed up. We get stuck in our religiosity and think that, well, if we know what's right, we're being faithful people. But certainty and faith, they're opposites. We don't know. That's why we have faith. So let us boast in the hope of God's glory, of God's goodness, and God's love happening right here with us and among us. May we not be troubled by the change or the problems, because trouble produces endurance. And may we keep moving forward, guided by the Prince of Peace, and our eyes set on God, because endurance produces character. And as our character builds, as our scripture tells us, it produces hope. We can have hope, my friends, that in whatever happens, in whatever is changing and taking form, however the snow globe shifts out, that God's love endures, and that we and you can withstand the snow falling all around you. And not just withstand it, though. No, I don't even like that. Not withstand, but we can be agents of God's peace. We can be God's faith in action, because our hope is in God, and we are anchored in God's love. So, siblings in Christ, let us keep the course. Let us follow Jesus while the snow swirls around us and hopefully settles. And let us go where God is calling us to go. Won't you rise in body and spirit and join me in singing, "If You Say Go"? Thanks be to God. Amen.